Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Good evening and welcome into the house of the Lord again tonight. We had a wonderful, wonderful service yesterday morning talking about one of my favorite subjects, and most of you know that Isaac is at the top of my list and his willingness to be sacrificed. And so many people never stop to ask themselves the question that, I don't know, the Holy Spirit just brought it to me. What there was, like I said yesterday, that something was missing, that there was no crying, there was no resisting. Isaac never resisted. And that's why Jesus, at the time that he was crucified, he did not open his mouth at all. Isaac didn't resist. And God, what a beautiful picture of our Savior. And tonight we're continuing Abraham, the patriarchs, and we're taking our time on this, and I love this. But I want to share something with you really briefly. I want to just share with you that everything that you do matters in life, especially as a believer, as a Christian. And maybe you think it's something little. Maybe you think that it really isn't a big deal to you. But just sometimes reaching out to people makes such a difference. And that kind of happened to me a couple moments ago. I have a situation where I'm a client of someone and they're having to pass me on to another person temporarily. And this person had a sickness and had to contact me and was making apologies and saying, you know, this and that and the other, and said, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. And I've never even met you. And here I am, you know, having to have this conversation. And I just stopped her and I said, listen, you matter. You're important. Your health matters. I want you to take care of you. I don't want you to worry about me at all. And she said, I can't believe you're even saying that. And I said, well, that's how I really feel from my heart. And she said, I just spoke to my mother-in-law and said, I've never met this girl, but I'm never going to lose her. She said, you're going to be my friend. She said, I've never felt like I mattered or that I came first at all. And it was just such a simple thing. Such a little thing. Just, you know, can you do this? Can you switch this? Can you do it? And I'm like, I can do anything because you matter. And sometimes we just don't realize that people, maybe they don't hear those words very often, or maybe people deal with them harshly, like, you know, why did you say this? And now you're not going to do that, and you can't. I'm just like, calm down. It's all about you. It's not about me. And she's like, wow, who are you? And so she said, I'm going to steal you from the other girl. She said, for sure. So just, it's just something for us to remember that everything counts that we do, even the bad stuff we do. It could have turned out another way, right? So tonight we're talking about Abraham and the patriarchs. And, you know, any time in the Bible that we're talking about an account of someone, we learn very valuable lessons from their life. I love the life stories that we have in the Bible because we learn from the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? And from Abraham's life, we learn a lot of things. I'm going to go through some. And first of all, I want to say, I want to encourage you to let God be the star of your story. Can you let God be the star of your story? Instead of you being the star of your story, how about if God, you write God in your story and let him be the star of your story? And we learned from Abraham that we can trust the promises of God even if we're 100 years old, from the time we're born to the time we're 100. We learned that we should tell the truth and not lie to others or about others, because Abraham suffered, Sarah suffered, and others suffered because of the lies that he told, because of his dishonesty. We learned that Abraham was someone who built altars and worshiped God, and he walked away from idols. That's a good idea, too, to walk away from the world and the things that have our affections and to worship the one true and living God. We learned that Abraham was willing to be obedient to God when he was called to leave Ur of the Chaldees, and then also when he was even called to sacrifice his own son. We learned that when God asks us to do something, we should obey without delay, because to delay is to disobey. So tonight, as we enter into chapter 23, I want to say that Sarah is 127 years old, and that was it for her. She died in Kiriath Arba, And that's the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham mourned her. He really did love Sarah, even though he gave her away a couple of times. And he sent her away first to Pharaoh and then to Abimelech. But he really did love her because we see him mourning her death. And I love that this. And at the time of Sarah's death, Isaac was 37 years old, and they buried Sarah in the cave of Machpelah, which he purchased from the children of Heth. Now, I want to go through some things tonight that we have talked before, but it bears going over. First of all, in this account, Abraham represents the Father God, Father Abraham. Secondly, Isaac, you know, him being willing to be sacrificed, Abraham being willing to sacrifice him, that's a picture of the Father and the Son, correct? But there is one more person that I want to introduce you all to tonight. And he was mentioned only once briefly before what we're going to discuss tonight. But I want to read to you the first time we hear about a man named Eleazar. You might want to remember that name for future reference. I'm going to read to you Genesis 15, 1 and 2, just two short verses. After this, the word of God came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. If I had a vision, I might be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward. This is the Lord talking. And Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me? What will you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? Now, this man was a steward of Abraham's household. He was the primary steward. He was able to transact business equally to Abraham. You have to get that and understand that. And because this is a picture of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Eleazar comes into this. Tonight we see that Abraham is growing older. I just read you that verse about Eleazar to introduce him. One time was he mentioned before tonight. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. I want to tell you this, that God blessed Abraham, and he is the same God that will bless you. He blessed him in all things. What that translates out as all areas of his life was blessed. His health, his family, his wealth. He was blessed with livestock, with crops, with friends. He was prosperous. And do you know that the blessings of Abraham, because we are the seed of Abraham, they belong to us too, and we can access them. But we are not entitled to them except through obedience and faithfulness to God. I'm going to say that again. We are entitled to them only through obedience and faithfulness to God. You cannot assume the blessings of God will be yours without being obedient and faithful to God. But 3 John 2 says, Beloved, this is Jesus, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, but even as your soul prospers. As you increase and draw closer to God, and you become faithful to God and obedient to God, that is the key that unlocks the blessings of the kingdom. Now, you don't have to believe it, but I have proven it out. I am Exhibit A, and so many are you, because you are obedient to God, and you have received blessings. I have had people say, how come you are so blessed? I say, because I serve the one true and living God and am obedient and faithful to him. Otherwise, you are not blessed, as any child that is disobedient in any household is not exactly blessed. So I want to say that it is God who the blessing comes from, and we must continue to obey God. And tonight I want to introduce you to Eleazar once again, because Abraham represents the Father God, Isaac represents the Son, and Eleazar represents the Holy Spirit of God. He represents the Holy Spirit of God. And as always, I would like to commend myself for doing my homework. Because does anyone in this room know what the name Eleazar means? God is my help. He represents the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the primary function? I mean the primary function of the Holy Spirit. Helper. He is the helper. Eleazar means God is my help. It's simple, it's easy, and it's why God put this in the Word. And think of it, let's read John 14, 16, and I will pray and ask the Father, this is Jesus, and he will send you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Now I'm going to go to Genesis 24, verse 2, and continue reading. And Abraham said to his oldest servant, Eliezer, of his house, who ruled over all that he had, put, I pray you, your hand under my thigh, that was to make a covenant, that were side by side, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of all heaven and the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife. Now, I want you to hold that word not real quick. Grab it in your heart. That you shall not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country, go to my kindred, and take a wife unto from there unto for my son. Now, isn't it interesting that he's making him not swear to do something, but to not do something? Do you know, this is the best way I know how to teach this. Do you know what God tells us not to do is equally as important as what God tells us to do? And sometimes he has to tell us what not to do before he can tell us, go ahead and do this so you can get the blessing. First, you've got to get away from this. It's just the way it is. Abraham, I'll give you an example. He had to tell Abraham to come out. You cannot stay there. You got to come out. So, and then you can go in here. So God has to tell us sometimes what I call the bad news first. Thou shalt. How many of you know that there's thou shalt not in the Ten Commandments? And then there's thou shalt. What you shall not do is equally important as what you shall do. And so Eliezer is in charge of all of the household. He is a steward. He has the ability to transact business as if he was Abraham. Do you know this is another picture of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit works as God. Jesus works as God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so Abraham is going to send Eliezer, who represents the Holy Spirit, on a very important assignment. He is going to be responsible for choosing a wife for the son. Now, a bride. Let's call it a bride. A bride. But first, he's going to make him make this promise, and the first thing he tells him is what not to do. The most important thing is not who he's going to choose, because he could probably choose from a lot of godly girls, right? But so that might not be quite as important as who not to choose, right? What a powerful lesson. There may be a lot of people on earth that you could choose for a bride and get along with, but I can tell you if you choose the wrong person, you're in some trouble. And so the servant said to him, what if the woman will not follow me to this land? Must I need bring your son again to the land from where you come? Now, Eliezer is thinking on his feet, and he's saying, I'm going to do my best on this assignment, but I can't just exactly go kidnap a wife. She kind of has to be willing. And so he's asking logical questions. What if she will not come with me? It's actually a very valid and, as I said, logical and a good question, because you cannot force anyone to be a wife of someone they don't want to. And that's the same in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not forced. The Holy Spirit, our Eliezer, will work on us and draw us to where we would say yes to go and be with the Son and to become the bride of Christ, but we also have the choice of saying no if we should want to. And so God tells him again what not to do, but Abraham answers the question when he said, should I bring your son again to the land where you came from? And we're going to talk about that tonight, why Isaac should not go to Mesopotamia. And Abraham said to him in verse 6, and Abraham said to him, beware, you shall bring not my son there again. My son cannot go to Mesopotamia. You cannot get a wife from here, but my son absolutely can't go there. Now, this is what I would say to that. You do not get a spouse from the world and expect things to turn out well. You want someone who serves God, loves God, honors God, and if they're in the world, they need to come out of the world, which is going to be the case when we see Rebecca, who we're going to see very soon. Now, you want a spouse, and so he's sending him back to the land where he was. And you want a spouse from the family of God. I don't mean your first or second cousin, but from the family of God. And so Abraham continues speaking to his servant, and he says, the Lord God of heaven, which took me out of my father's house and from the end of my kindred, and which spoke to me, and that swore to me, promised me, saying, unto your seed I'm going to give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. In other words, you're going to do it. My son cannot go there, and I already know. Now, here's the situation. Do you know that God has gone ahead of you into your future, and that he was already saying, you know what? He's already gone before you, and you are going to be able to fulfill this assignment. And I love that, but it does take obedience to God. And I want to say something about that too. There are two things that we cannot mix them up because they are two separate things. One is obedience and one is faithfulness. Obedience is obeying God's commands, but faithfulness is being obedient consistently. That's what faithfulness is. Obedience is obedience, but faithfulness is being obedient consistently, following God consistently. So, however, Abraham does not know because this bride still has a choice, and we're going to see. So he says this, and if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you shall be clear from this oath only. And watch this. He says this again. Do not bring my son there. Okay, God, we get it. Isaac cannot go to Mesopotamia. Why? Why can't he go? Abraham, you lived there. You have family there. So why are you asking, this is my thought process, why are you asking Eliezer to go into Mesopotamia and get a wife for your son, and you don't even want him on the property over there? It's that bad. Let me help you out with that. I have an answer because I asked the Holy Spirit, and he gave an answer. Here's the thing. You can get the wife and bring her out of idol worship, but you ain't taking my son back in to idol worship. You're not taking him to be infected or affected by the idols over there, because chances are if he goes to Mesopotamia, there's some relatives, there's some parties over there, there's some fine wine over there. He may stay over there in Mesopotamia. He may find a wife, because he's 37 years old. He's a grown-up adult, and if he goes over into Mesopotamia, and how many of you know that you think you can go out into the world and not be affected by the world? And I say that's not true. I say that they will affect you before you affect them. So that is in essence why that Abraham said, you cannot take my son there. He cannot be on the property. He cannot be over there. And he says it no less than three times. Don't take my son there. Don't take my son there. My son may not go there. And I got the message loud and clear. But you can, the Holy Spirit can go ahead. Remember, Eliezer is a picture of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can go and find a wife, and she can come out of the idol worship and come and be a part of the household of faith. How cool is that? How awesome is that? If she is willing. Now, she may not want to. She may like where she's at and stay, but we know that's not the case. So he was real serious about his son not being there. And here's the thing that hit me. So how does that apply to me? A lesson about Isaac not going to Mesopotamia. Don't send your kids out into the world. The world will entice them. The world will seduce them. The world will trap them. You know, I was with Sandra and I in Kansas City. We were at IHOP, and there were all these young adults in their 20s and 30s and 40s, and they were just worshiping God, and I couldn't help but think of all the kids that age, young adults, that they're at parties, and they're at their events, and they're at games, and they're at all kinds of, no interest in God, not even in coming to church. And here all these young people are just hungry for God. That's why you say no to your kids. That's why I say, my Isaac cannot go there. Now you can come. I used to tell my kids this. Maybe this will help give you a better example. I used to tell my kids, you can't go there, but these children are welcome to come here in our home. We are a godly home. They are welcome to come here, and we will provide activities, food, pizza, whatever you want, but you are not welcome to go over there. And if I have my memory straight, I know that Tony Piscina was the same way, that there's places that Sherry couldn't go, period, because we know. We're smart enough to know. We've been there, done that. been there, done that, the world. So this was Abraham being wise after all these years, his 37-year-old son, and he wanted a godly wife. He wanted things to go well with him. And so the servant Eliezer did swear to him. And here's the deal. We're going to continue on, verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels. I want you to hold that thought on the 10 camels. Hold that thought. A lot of camels going with us here. And some other people and some camels of his master, and he left. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. This means, let me explain what all the goods of the master were in his hands. He didn't take everything with him, but all that Abraham had was at his disposal. Everything Abraham, now he took a lot of stuff. I happen to know he took a lot of gold on the journey, and you're going to hear about that, gold and silver. And he took these camels. He was loaded down, and he went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And the last time we see Mesopotamia was Abraham was coming out of there and leaving with his family. Now he's sending Eliezer back to get the wife. And I love this thought, because when we get free and we get out of where we used to be, God will sometimes, through the power of the Holy Spirit, allow us, as we get strong in the Holy Spirit, to go back and get others out. How cool is that, too? You know, we're not sending people there, our young people, but we can go there and get other people out, and I like that. Verse 11 says, and he made his camels to kneel down outside the city by a well of water, at the time of the evening, even when the time that the women go out to draw water. I want to tell you first that the Holy Spirit's timing is perfect. This is perfect timing. And I love that God is even using the camels here. Do you know that God uses everything, all the resources of the earth, to draw us unto himself? So the servant is just out the city. It's in the evening time, a beautiful evening, I picture. And verse 12 says, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray you, send me good speed on this day and show kindness to, now the day is getting a little short here, show kindness to my master Abraham. I love that he is asking on behalf of the Father. Do you know that in the Trinity, the Father honors the Son honors the Father honors the Holy Spirit, the Son honors the Holy Spirit honors the Father and Son. They are three in one. And here it is that here's what he says to God as he continues, I'm standing here by this well of water, and soon the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And so, Lord, let it come to pass, let this happen. I'm asking that this would happen, that the girl to whom I say, I'm going to go up to a girl, Lord, I'm going to go up to a girl, and I'm going to tell her, let down your pitcher. And I pray that, and this is just, I ask that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will give your camels drink also. Then, Lord, let that be the girl that you've appointed for your servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that you have shown kindness to my master. This is pretty amazing. He's going to pick a girl. He's the Holy Spirit. He's going to pick a girl. And he tells God, this is what I want to happen so that I know that I am absolutely choosing the right girl for Isaac. And the only way I can know this is if she does something very, very unusual. But I love this because, in essence, he is about to test the character of this girl, and I'm going to explain that. He needs to know what kind of girl that she is. And so I'm going to choose her, and I'm going to ask her for a drink. Now, here he is, a stranger. I want you to picture this. This is a stranger, an out-of-town stranger by a strange well, and he's got a whole bunch of camels. And if she says, here, drink, I will give you a drink, and I will also give your 10 camels a drink also, then, Lord, let that be her, and I will know that it is you, God, because that's not likely to happen, by the way. That is not likely to happen. By the way, it would be highly unusual for this young lady to even want to give him a drink at all. You are a stranger. We're not really supposed to be even talking to you. You're out of town. You look like you're of a different race. You're out of town. We're not supposed to be talking to you. And so you're asking me for something here. You're begging me for something. And so, first of all, it would have been very strange that he got a drink. It would be extremely miraculous that 10 camels, and I'll tell you why in a minute, why it's going to be extremely miraculous that the camels get a drink. These are truly miraculous stories. Verse 15 says, and it came to pass, it actually happened, before he had done, finished speaking, before his prayer was finished, that behold, Rebekah came out, one who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, and her Bethuel was Abraham's nephew. I'm going to translate that for you. Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. I have had this happen in my life. Have you ever had it happen that before you almost got the prayer out of your mouth, or sometimes even before you prayed it, that God had already answered it, that you never even had a chance to pray, that God answered the prayer, someone would text, someone would call, somehow you would have the answer before you even prayed because God heard the prayer of your heart. You don't have to pray it with your mouth. God hears your heart. God knows what you have need of in your heart, and he will provide that need almost before you know the need or know how to pray about it. And so this is what's happening here. And so before he got the words out, here comes Rebecca. It appears from this encounter that she was actually the first girl. Most commentators and theologians believe that she was actually the first girl. And so he decided he's going to pick her. And the girl was very fair to look upon. No trouble with that. A virgin. He didn't know that, but this is recorded in the Bible. Neither had any man known her intimately, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. This was work, folks. This was not easy work, and it's certainly not easy work for a woman, but it was their job. This is not an electric well, FYI. This is not tap water, FYI. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray, I ask you, drink a little water from your pitcher." You think? You're going to drink from my pitcher? We don't know each other. I found this strange. But given the fact that hospitality was encouraged in those countries, it could have been considered, one theologian said, asking someone to meet just a basic need of life. She might have thought, if I don't give him water, he's probably going to die. It's bad. Or who's going to give him water if I don't do it? So he was trying to find out what kind of character this girl had. She could have said, "I don't know you. The answer is no. Go away. I'm going to call all the guys of the city." But she did not. And she said, "Drink, my Lord." By the way, she seems to have no fear whatsoever. She seems to have a peace about doing what she's doing. And she said, "Drink, my Lord," which is a term of honor. "Drink, sir." And she hasted and let down her pitcher. She did it very speedily upon her hand, and she gave him drink. And she didn't just do that. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will now draw water for your camels also until they have done drinking." Now, let's do some math here. How many of you have ever seen a camel at the zoo? How much water do you suppose that one camel could drink? Until he's finished, what that means is until the translation of that is until he's satisfied. So how much do you think it would take of water after they had come on that long, long journey? And by the way, had not had drink yet. Remember, they're sitting down waiting. And now the camels are going to drink until they're satisfied. Do you have any idea, just throwing this out here as a question, how many times she had to go back and forth? Because remember, she went to the well and brought the water and pitcher back. Do you have any idea how many times she had to go back and forth to the well to lift up water? And how many of you know that water is heavy and a bucket could be pretty heavy? And return to give it to Eliezer and then to give it to 10 camels. Now, I've done a little bit of homework. And on average, the camel would likely drink 4 of the buckets of water that they had back in the day. 4 times 10 is 40 buckets of water. And then there's Eliezer and herself, and I don't know that she didn't have camels. We don't know. So the average is, the thought is, that she worked between 2 and 3 hours at a bare minimum to get this task done. During that time, there appeared to be, from the commentaries, no dialogue going on. She was just working because verse 21 says something extremely interesting. And the man, Eliezer, wondered in awe, was amazed at her, and he held his peace. Means there was no conversation. He didn't say anything. He was just quiet. He was just watching her. Water. 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 Camel number 2. Something very interesting. There's no record of him helping. Okay, this is where I have a huge problem. but there may have not have been another bucket. I don't know. I would have said, you know, I am your servant, Pamela. You may have my bucket to go feed your camels, drink your camels. I would not have said, likely, I will do it myself. But she did, because this is the character that she was, she had. And it was, you know, it was at least 10 times, but they say 4 buckets, so that's probably 40 times. And it took so long, and she did it, and he wondered at her. And he was not saying anything. He said to watch whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And verse 22, after this was all finished, here's what happened. And it came to pass, as the camels had finished drinking and were satisfied, that the man Eleazar took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, pure gold, and said, whose daughter are you? You know, I'd be asking that question right now too. Who on earth are you? Who do you, who raised you? Who raised you like this? Tell me, I pray thee. Now, this is where the humor comes in. I apologize for my warped sense of humor. Tell me, I pray thee, I'm asking, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge in? Us? Is there room at daddy's house for me and my guys and my 10 camels to come and stay with you guys? Who does this? This is all so strange to me. But he's looking to find something out. If it's God, it's God. And if it's God, the miraculous will happen. Things will happen like they're supposed to. And God makes provision. And Eleazar, representing the Holy Spirit, knew this, that there will be provision. If this is God, and he has made my journey prosperous, and this is the one for Isaac, then he will make the miraculous come to pass. And so he gives her these gifts, and she had went way above and beyond, which I kind of considered the least he could do, the gold gifts. I'm like, well, thank you, you know, I gave. But he says, can I come to the house? Is there room for us? Listen, people don't even want Dave and I to bring our dog to their house. You know, come on now, guys. You want to watch my dog? No. Can Dave and I come and bring the dog? Can we bring Sandra's dog? No. And so this is very unusual. And it seems out of line, but it's not. And she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bore to Nahor. And it's kind of how funny even how they introduced themselves back then. I'm so-and-so who belongs to so-and-so. I'm the daughter of Beulah, wife of Kenneth. Claudine bore him, da-da-da. You know, they're given the history here. And here's what she said. We have both straw and provision enough and room for you to lodge in. They're actually going to let him. She's speaking for her father. They are actually going to let him come and bring his camels. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And I love that when he bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. He didn't say thank you to her or please go home and thank your father. He bowed down and he acknowledged that this must be God. All of this that is happening here must be God. And he has become a worshiper of God. He is a worshiper of God, a servant of Abraham, but a worshiper of God, and certainly led by the Holy Spirit, even as his name represents the Holy Spirit. And anytime in a name, when you do see E-L in the Bible, most of the time, I will say, if it's a male name, most of the time it is a short for Elohim, the first part, and that's where you get Eleazar. That means what it means, that he is God, and he's thanking God for helping him. And while he does so, the girl runs and tells her family everything the Bible says that has just happened. But the Bible continues on, and we're not going to get into this tonight because you know that I believe in teaching that less is more, and I want you to come back next week. It's like a soap opera because you're not going to get to hear the rest of it tonight because you're going to have to come next week. And the Bible continues saying that she had a brother, and his name was Laban, and he's the one that ran to the man at the well. Now, this is interesting. It's going to get very, very interesting because we're going to find out who Laban is, and he's not the best of the best. And so, because here I'm going to give you a clue to it. Verse 30 says, and it came to pass when he, Laban, saw the earring. I could literally stop there. Do you know about Laban already now? That's about all I got to tell you. Laban saw the earring and the bracelets on his sister's hands that were pure gold. And when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, "This man, thus spoke the man to me, that he came to the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, 'Come on in, you who are blessed of the Lord.'" He recognized the blessing of the Lord, but he didn't know that the blessing was the Lord. He was looking at the earrings and the bracelets on sister's hand. And those were very pricey. Those were from Neiman Marcus. Those were big, big name, big stuff. And he was interested in that. And that's sad to say, but that was true. He was looking at the gold and not God. And that can be a problem too. And he knew that this man was obviously wealthy. You don't haul around 10 camels and a whole bunch of people that are your support team with you if you're not. And his sister had just been given some very expensive gifts. And we're going to continue in our let's ask our praise. I would like to ask our worship team to come and take a time of worship. But we're going to continue next week. And next week's title is "She Said Yes." So come back next week and hear about what's going to happen. It really is a miraculous story. And in choosing someone for our children, you know, someone asked me one time, do I believe in arranged marriages? And my answer was a very quick yes. Yes, I do. I believe that every marriage should be arranged by the Holy Spirit. I absolutely do. Don't arrange it yourself. You'll make a mistake, I guarantee. But if you will let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you and show you the path to walk in, you will not get it wrong.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.